It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It didn't take long for Apple to respond this week to a judge's order to help law enforcement investigators access the data on a phone that belonged to one of the San Bernardino shooters. In CEO Tim Cook's words, "Now the U.S. government has asked us for something we simply do not have and something we consider too dangerous to create." The government says it needs help bypassing the passcode on the phone in question. Apple defines the request from the government as yet another ask for the tech company to break encryption and build a backdoor to data on the iPhone. Privacy advocates would say the same and protest against it. One of them is principal technologist at the ACLU, Chris Segoyan. Chris, you think this is about the government wanting to set a precedent here?
The assistance that the government is asking Apple to provide, essentially building a special version of its software to attack the security built into its phones, that's something that Apple could only do for older versions of iPhones that have less security built into them. For newer phones, Apple really has locked itself out. And so, what we're scared of is that the government here has a very high-profile terrorism case, probably the most sympathetic facts that you can imagine. And they're going to seek to establish a pretty broad precedent, forcing companies to provide whatever assistance the government decides that it wants. And this assistance could really be used for far more terrifying forms of surveillance assistance.
Chris, what would you say to the folks, and what should Apple say to the folks who think that there may be information on this particular device that could save lives?
So the government hasn't said that this is the only way for them to get the information. It would be shocking if the National Security Agency did not have a way to extract data from iPhones. But even if that were the only way, the question here is not about this particular case. It's the precedent.
Android phones and Apple phones are definitely different in terms of price. Can you talk about differences between iOS and Android when it comes to data security?
Apple sells luxury products. Their phones, sell for $600 or $700. And Apple has decided to build security in at the ground level. In contrast, Google's Android platform does not encrypt data stored on most phones by default. What that's ultimately created then is a digital security divide. Rich Americans get a phone built with security and privacy in mind, and poor Americans get a phone that is built for data collection and does not protect them from the government.
What is the business play that Apple is doing here? You're touching on it, but can you talk more about it?
Yeah, I think Apple's decided that they're going to go all in on cybersecurity. They think that they can differentiate themselves both on privacy and security. They're doing a good job of it. In Google's defense, I guess, it's easy for Apple to go all in on privacy and security when the company makes several hundred dollars on each phone.
Chris Segoyan is principal technologist with the American Civil Liberties Union. Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
In the coming days and weeks, it will be worth remembering that Apple's focus on privacy might help it curry favor with customers abroad who are nervous about U.S. surveillance. Perhaps the biggest group right now, customers in China. Well, Apple is debuting its electronic payment system, Apple Pay, in mainland China today. This sector of the Chinese market is already dominated by Alibaba, China's largest internet company. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz takes a look.
358 million Chinese paid for goods over their phones last year. That's more than the population of the United States. Almost all used two services.
The dominant players in the market, of course, are Alipay from Alibaba and TenPay from Tencent.
Mark Natkin, founder of Beijing-based Marbridge Consulting, says these two companies make up 90% of the Chinese market. China's tech-savvy consumers have paid for goods with these apps for years. Natkin asks, why would they switch now?
Unless you're coming to the market with something that's, not just a little bit better, but enormous step better in terms of security or ease of use, then you're really fighting a difficult battle.
But, says Natkin, the battle is probably worth it. Mobile phone transactions accounted for hundreds of billions of dollars in China last year, compared to just tens of billions in the U.S. For Apple, managing to seize a single percentage point on that Chinese market share list would be valuable. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
By the way, we were talking about the GPS system company Garmin earlier this week and what its future was in a world full of smartphones. Well, the company beat Wall Street's expectations by $20 million this quarter. Two key factors: Garmin's making inroads in wearable fitness tracking devices and in aviation navigation. And Star Wars and mapping enthusiasts, start your mental engines. What happens when a PhD student at the Swiss Institute of Technology wants to map the myriad social connections between characters in a galaxy far, far away? You find a reputable source and scrape the data.
We have two parts. The first part is like a small robot, which actually crawls the Wikipedia, which is the Wikipedia only for Star Wars.
The PhD student in question there, Kirel Benzi, says that his bot's data suggests over 20,000 characters spanning a period of 36,000 years. The universe's most well-connected characters?
The two most connected characters are actually like Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, and Darth Sidious, Palpatine, the Chancellor. Anakin Skywalker has more than 1,500 connections.
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Interesting if you're a sci-fi fan, but Benzi says there are other potential applications, like mapping extremist networks in the real world. Before that happens, though, he's going to use the program to follow the buzz around the release of this new tool. The name of that process? The Network of the Network of the Network. All right, later, nerds. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.